The tour in Pei Zion uses a very strange Lashon, which the Beis Yosef picks up on. And he writes, V'eino noeg el b'tahora, kigon basar behema tahora b'chol behema tahora, aval basar tahora b'chol of behema t'meya, o basar t'meya b'chol of tahora, u basar chaya v'yof, eino el midrabanon. So the Pashtus Lashon Hatur seems to indicate that if you cook basar behema tmeya with chol of tahora, vice versa, that's asa midrabanan, and has a din of basar b'cholav like chaya v'of b'cholav. And the Beis Yosef points out that that's not so. He says, Lashon Rabbeinu Einu Mechuvan Shekol Al Din Basa Behema Tahora Bechol of Tmeya Basa Tmeya Bechol of Tahora Im Din Basa Chaya V'yof Unehi Delo Gazer Al Bishulam. He says we don't find any sort of gzera of that type. Ela dafka b'cholav im of, but ilu basar tahora b'cholav tmeya basar tmeya b'cholav tahora lo ashkechan shiasru chachamim be'achila mishum basar b'cholav. We don't find anywhere a source for an isur d'rabbanan basar b'cholav if either the basar is behema tmeya or the cholav is behema tmeya. And he says, "Gam lo hoylem inyan li osar libidivrayim." The Beis Yosef points out that there's no logical reason to generate some sort of an iser basar b'cholav midivrayim. May achar shekfar hu osar v'omed min haTorah, mishum basar tameh, mishum cholav tameh. And therefore, when we look in the lashon of the Mechaber, he sort of rectifies the situation. And here in Siv Gimel, he writes, "Eino noeg ela b'basar behema tahora b'chol behema tahora, aval basar tahora b'chol of tmeya o basar tmeya b'chol of tahora. If there's any havamina whatsoever that would come under basar b'chol of, would be either an iser bishul or an iser hadna mutarin b'bishul b'hadna." Period. He doesn't even address the issue of an iser achil. It's also b'achilah medaraisa. And then he starts a new sentence. He says, "Ubasar chaya v'yof is asar midrabban." So then we have here a situation in which, if you accept the Beis Yosef's accusation, the tour is, so to speak, guilty of understanding that there's an iser basar b'chol of midivrayim with regard to behemat tmeya, with chol of tar or chol of tmeya. And the question is twofold. Question number one is why the Rabbanan might have been motivated to institute such an Issa Rabbanan on something that's also Midaraisa anyway. We're only talking about the Issa Achila, it's also Bachila Midaraisa. And that question is implicit in the Beis Yosef himself. However, the Taz asks a different question, which is also very relevant. And that is, if the tour were here in front of us, we should be addressing him with the question, "Mai nafkemina?" I mean, you're talking about adding an Isra Achila midivrayim to an Isra Achila midin Torah. That's a very strange thing. And he quotes the Bach and the Drisha, who set for themselves the following goal. What new dinim achal as a result of this so-called Issa d'Rabbanan that the Torah may or may not have had in mind? Meaning, what, you have something that's Asur b'Torah Shari Surim, it's not Basar b'Cholav, it's Behemet Meya, what new dinim or what new isurim can we add, albeit midivrayim, by virtue of the fact that he cooked it with milk and it became basar b'chalav midivrayim? That's what the Drisha and the Bach set for themselves as a goal. The Taz argues with the Drisha and the Bach, again, not on the level of, well, why in the tourist frame of reference would the Rabbanah be motivated to institute such a gzera? That doesn't seem to bother the Taz. Perhaps once the Rabbanan prohibited any basar, anything that's bechal basar, we call oaf basar. Again, technically it's not included in Lo Savashal Gedi, but we look at oaf as basar, and the Rabbanan made a gzera. So technically, Behema Tmeya or Cholav Tameh is not included under Lo Savashal Gedi. But at the end of the day, you're cooking meat with milk, that's what it looks like. And the Rabbanan made a sweeping zera. That's all. Anything that looks like basar together with chalav was cooked together. It's awesome. Fine. So whatever motivated the Chachamim to make that zera and institute it, maybe it's not, you know, that you're going to come, you know, from this achilu, you're going to come to that achilu. That doesn't make sense. I mean, why would you even dream of eating this concoction? But nevertheless, the Rabbanan may have made a sweeping statement that whenever you have basar and you cook it with cholav, period, it's asur in this gzera. That's the way the Rabbanan operated it. You don't even have to introduce Maris Ayin. But the more profound question is, what do we gain by it, so to speak, or what do we lose by it? And the Taz quotes the Bach, Mori Chami, as saying that first and foremost we gain chaticha nasas nevela, because we paskin, the mechaber at least paskins in Sima Tzadi Beis like Rabbeinu Ephraim, and Rabbeinu Ephraim holds that chaticha nasas nevela only applies in basar b'chalav, does not apply in shari surim, which means that if you have a tavshil of heter that accepted a blia, a tam of Isur through Bishel, so that Tavshil is Asur if there's no Bittel, but nevertheless when it gets mixed up and cooked in another Taroves, you only have to be Meshayer Keneged the Isur Balua. Whereas in Basar B'chalav, it's not enough if the Basar B'chalav falls into another Kedera and you cook it together to be Meshayer Keneged the Tipas Cholav, you have to be Meshayer Keneged the entire piece of meat. And that's called Chaticha Nasa Nevela. Since Rabbeinu Ephraim is of the opinion that that's limited, that's unique to Basar B'chalav, it does not apply to Shari Surim, where the Mishari Keneged the Bliya. Therefore, says the Bach, this could be exactly what the Torah has in mind. That if the Rabbanan felt, shall we say, motivated to establish an all-inclusive, sweeping zera that any basar whatsoever b'cholav is asur min rabbanan b'taras basar b'cholav. Nafkamid is now going to be that if you take basar tameh and you are mevashal with cholav tahar, that basar and the cholav together. Let's take the flip case. It's even more profound than the flip case. You know, you have an amount of cholav tameh that's cooked with basar behema tahora, and the cholav tamei is already awesome. So if not for the tour and the way the Bach tries to understand, I would have said that in such a case there's no din basar b'cholav, not d'oraisa, not the rabbana. And in that case, when you take this concoction and you mix it in a second taromis, all you have to do is be mevatel the tam of the cholav sheltmeya that's balua in the basar heter. That's all you have to do. But now that, according to the tour, you have a new isa drabanan of basar b'cholav, so now when this cholav tameh enters into the basar tar through Bishel, now when this concoction falls into another taroves, you're going to need shishim not only against the cholav, but also against the basar itself. That's chaticha nasis nevel. Then, the Bach adds another nafkamin. And that is as far as chaticha haru'ilis kaveh, that normally if you have yovesh b'yovesh, it's batel b'rov. when it comes to a chaticha rilus kabe, the Gemara Daf Kuf establishes that it's not batal even the elef. So here's a difference between shari surim and the unique halacha of basar b'cholov. In shari surim, if you have a chatichas heter that was bolea tam isur, then even though the chaticha itself is real is kabed, it's batal. Yovish b'yovish. Why? Because the chaticha itself is not osur. It's only the bliya that's osur. So if the chaticha itself is not gufo shel isur b'nachmas atzmo, then you don't apply the principle of chaticha real is kabed. But in halacha basar b'cholov, now when the cholov is cooked with the basar, and the basar is bolea the tam cholov, and it becomes basar b'cholov, now the din of chaticha rilus kavet applies. We no longer view this basar as a basar heter that has within it a bliya visur, but rather we look at the chaticha as if it's kulay asur, bifnei atzmo. And therefore, since it's real as kavet, it's afil belaflo batal. That's what the Torah has in mind, says the Bach, with this gzera derabbanon of cholav tameh that was cooked with basar heter. It now becomes a chaticha real as kavet midrabbanon, it's basar b'cholav. If it would have been shari surin, we would not apply the din of chaticha rilus kaved, but now that it's possible cholov, we apply the din of chaticha rilus kaved. Says the Taz regarding his father-in-law and the drisha, lo daku rabbanan bezeh. He speaks very respectfully. After all, the shver is the shver, right? Although you should know that they had an interesting relationship. You know that after this is off the record, after the Taz lost his wife, he wanted to marry the Bach's other daughter. And the Bach refused. Okay, but that's for another schmooze. Okay. In any event, he says the following. Kvodom v'mkom ha-munach. Okay, you know, the mechubadim, but v'mkom ha-munach. He says, Da'ikar tam l'rabbeinu Ephraim d'machmi rebos b'cholav humi tam d'chol echad b'fnei atzmo mutar v'rak b'taroves asurim v'nasim guf echad v'zelo shakan b'min echad tomei tov olav halki yesh bo isur min ha-Torah v'imkein havi kishar isurim. So the Taz says that the secret of basar b'cholov, and therefore the din of Chanan, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, is that zeh heter b'fnei atzmo, v'zeh heter b'fnei atzmo. You combine it together, becomes gufo isur. You know, ex nihilo, a new chafetz isur is created. But if you have an isur that predated this bishul, and therefore, it, you know, through this bishul, all you get is a blia of isur. That's not possible, Chalov, and therefore the halacha of Chanan could not apply. Once the Taz has established l'shitaso that the logic of Chanan could not apply in the case of Chalov Tameh, or Basar Tameh, right? Is memela, there's no din of chaticha rilus kaved also, because the whole halach of chaticha rilus kaved is built on the halach of chaticha nasis nevela, meaning that now that this piece of meat being cooked with milk becomes gufo shel isur, if it's a chaticha rilus kaved, it's not going to be batel yovish b'yovish, even afilu be'elef. So memela, the Taz feels that once he's toppled the logic of his father-in-law with regard to Chanan, is memela what falls like a domino theory is the din of chaticha rilus kaved as well. And now we turn to the Shach, and here we find something very atypical. The Shach spends an enormous amount of time agreeing with the Taz. That itself is not so unusual. And he says, he goes back to the logic of the Beis Yosef, which wasn't at all on the agenda of the Taz, but why would the Chachamim make such a big zera? From one achil of Of, they would come to eat behema, correct? But here, Aval Ma Shayach Leinian Ligzar Bebasar Bebetorim Chol of Tmeo Ipcha, he says the Lavachi Lekel Meichas Lemid. Nobody's eating it anyway. Came to Lavachi Os. Fine. But Rabbos say then we look in the Nekudas HaKesef. Now I don't know if you noticed this, But the Nekudas HaKesef seems to say two different things. Meaning, he gives two different explanations to defend the Bach. His first explanation, if you read it carefully, says, V'lo kashem midi, you know, after the Taz, you know, attacks, you know, kvodim v'koma munach lo daku rabbanim v'hachi, he says, D'mikol makom mishum basa v'cholov kol chad v'apei nafshe shari. A fascinating piece of lumbus here in the Nekudas HaKesef. He doesn't accept it because la'alacha, there's no source anywhere other than the Torah, if you read it that way, that there's an Isad Rabbanan of Basa V'cholov as a result of cooking non-kosher milk with kosher meat. There is no such source. So he agrees with the Taz, Halacha L'maisa, but yet he defends the Bach in lumps. And he answers up the question of the Taz. But I think he does so in two different ways. There's like a Reisha here in the Nekudas HaKesef and a Seifa. I don't know if you noticed. In the Reisha, he says the following. He says, it's true. I cannot deny that the Taz is correct, and in order to apply Basa B'cholov, you need Zeh Heter B'fnei Atzmo, and you need Zeh Heter B'fnei Atzmo. You cannot create Basa B'cholov if it's already Aser. But says the Nekudas HaKesef, let's take a look at this Cholov, or at this Basa, tomato. Is it Aser or is it Mutter? Well, what would you say, Rav Osai? I mean, your knee-jerk reaction would be it's Aser, right? It's Tame. Says the Nekudas HaKesef, no, it's not Tame, it's Tahar. It's Tahar in Hilchas Basa B'cholov. So relative to Basa B'cholov, you have Heter Gomor. It's very odd because the Basar is Aser and the Torah prohibited it. But vis-a-vis the Iser Basa B'cholov, it's Tahar. And therefore, even if I grant the Taz is correct, that in order to create this entity of Basa B'cholov, I need Zeh Heter B'fnei Atzmo, and Zeh Heter B'fnei Atzmo says the Taz, that's exactly what I have. Zeh Heter B'fnei Atzmo v'Zeh Heter B'fnei Atzmo. The Cholov Tameh is Tar. Why is it Tar? Because relative to the Iser Basa B'cholov, it's Tar. It doesn't have an Iser Basa B'cholov. So when I look at an object, a foodstuff, I can see it from two different perspectives. You can ask me a practical question, Halacha L'maaseh, can I eat it? And the answer is obviously not, it's Cholov Tameh. But you can ask me a different question, does it have the Iser Basa B'cholov? And if it doesn't have the Iser Basa B'cholov, then when you take this piece of meat, or you take this milk, and you cook it, you have created a new Iser. Zeh Heter B'fnei Atzmo v'Zeh Heter B'fnei Atzmo. They're both Heter as far as Basa B'cholov is concerned.
Would the Nekudas HaKesef say the same thing if both of them were Tmeim? Or does it hinder?
Excellent. Okay, so that's what I would say the following. That the Nekudas HaKesef, even if they were both Tmeim, you took Cholov Tameh with Behema Tmeah, in the first explanation of the Nekudas HaKesef, it would still become Basa B'cholov because they're both Tahorim as far as Basa B'cholov is concerned. Fascinating. But then the Nekudas HaKesef drops the ball on this svara, and he approaches it from an entirely different perspective. And this is what I call the Nekudas HaKesef number two. Right? So again, let's just summarize. The Nekudas HaKesef number one, Mishum Basa B'cholov Kol Chad Bi'apei Nafshei Shari. Meaning, he admits to the Taz that you need Kol chad v'chad bi'apei nafshei shari. There's a baldin, is model emes here. But he says, vis-a-vis the iser of basa b'cholov, in this relativity theory, eino chinami, they're both mutter. Because neither of them, the cholov or the basa, have the iser basa b'cholov. So you have two objects that are being that are creating an iser basa b'cholov, and none of them have the iser basa b'cholov. Okay. Then the Nekudas HaKesef says a different svar entirely. And he basically asks the following question to the Taz. I mean, I'm just creating this, but he says the following. Does it have to be that you're transforming both elements, both the Basar and the Cholov, into a Cheftza D'Isura? And what happens if only one of the two is a chefetz de'etera and the other one was a chefetz de'isura? At least the chefetz de'etera was transformed into basa b'chalav. Meaning that now at this point the shach disagrees with the Taz fundamentally that the very definition of what basa b'chalav is all about. Whereas the Taz understands that basa b'chalav means zeheter v'zeheter. You've created a chefetz d'isura on both the chalav and the basar as this new entity emerges, comes along the shach and the nekudas hakesef, and he says, nay, that's not so. You know what basar b'chalav requires? It requires one chefetz d'isura, if you will, and one chefetz d'etera. If I have one chefetz d'etera, and through the bishul I transform it into a chefetz d'isura, that itself is basa b'chalav. Because again, what's the chiddush of basa b'chalav? That you've created a chefetz d'isura with something that was heter a minute ago. The answer is, I don't have to take both the basar and the chalav and point to each one of them and say they're both heter, and therefore I'm creating basa b'chalav because I'm being mechel on it a so. No, as long as the chalav becomes a chefetz d'isura or the basar becomes a chefetz d'isura, then you've already got basa b'chalav over here. You've created a new entity, a new iser of basa b'chalav. And I thought, Rabosai, that maybe there would be a nafkamina between the two hezberim of the shach and the nekudas hakesef. And that's what Rabbi Winston was referring to before. What happens if you take basa tameh with chalav tameh? If I go with the first explanation of the shach, that each one in and of itself is a chefetz d'hetera vis-a-vis basa b'chalav, then we have here basa b'chalav. If on the other hand, what the shach wants to do is, he wants to disagree fundamentally with the Taz, and he wants to say, well, you know what, I don't need that, a double header of you, that both elements, basa and chalav, became a chefetz d'isura through this book. All I need is one of the two, then in this case, neither of them became a chefetz d'isura. So the shach would have to admit to the Taz. I'm sorry. Yeah. The shach would have to admit, the nekudas hakesef, I should say, would have to admit to the Taz that in this case where both the cholav and the behemot tmeim, there would not be basa b'cholav. And the Rabbanu could not institute a gzera basa b'cholav. It's very interesting because if you take a look in the Torah and in the Mechaber, all they mention is if one of them, you know, you took this with this or behepach, they never address the case where both are asur. It could be that if both are asur, even the shach and the nekudas hakesef would admit that there's no room for chanan or for chaticha rilus kavod and all the rest. Rabosai. But lechora, again, you know, you're going to have to slug me up on this. The Taz is wrong. I have the fairish raya against the Taz. The Rambam in Perek Tes, Mehilchus Macholos Asuros, Halacha Vav, says the following. We'll come back later on to the beginning of Halacha Vav, the second half of Halacha Vav. Hamavashal Basar Mesa. We're talking about nevela, or chalav nevela. So he took the basar of the nevela, or the chalav of the nevela, and he cooked it. Bechalav. So the Rambam writes, loke al bishulo. He's going to be chayev malchus for bishul nevela with chalav. Deoraisa, loke. Then the Rambam says, V'eino loke al achiloso mishum basar b'chalav. He'll get malchus for eating the vela, but not for basar b'chalav. Why? She'ein iser basar b'chalav chal al iser nevela. We have a principle here of ein iser chal al iser. And if you medayik in the lashon of Rambam, the Rambam doesn't tell you that there's no iser basar b'chalav here in the achila itself. The Rambam just tell you that there's no malchus in the achila. And why is there no malchus? Because ein iser chal al iser. Meaning ein iser chal al iser in the Rambam suspends malchus, but has no impact on the very chalos iser. And not only that, the Rambam says explicitly that for the bishul, you're chayav malchus. Wait a minute. The Taz just finished telling me that in order to create basar b'cholov, you have to create it yesh me'ayim. You have to take two cheftas, both of which are hetera, and the combination thereof, the combo, becomes isur. But if one of them is asur, whether it be the basar or the cholov, in the case of tmeya, then says the Taz, that can't be basar b'cholov. So what's he going to do with the Rambam about nevela? Clearly, the nevela is a chefta d'isur even before the bishul. And lefiani is daiti. In order to square with this Rambam about nevela, and I don't know anyone who disagrees with the Rambam, we would have to reinterpret the Taz. I mean, it's like rewriting the script. We thought the Taz was saying Zehet to Bifnei Atzmo, Zehet to Bifnei Atzmo. That's not going to hold water because of the case of the Vela, which is clearly, when he cooks it with Cholov, becomes Basar B'Cholov. When it becomes Basar B'Cholov as far as the Bishul, or even as far as the Achil is concerned, at least, B'Toras Chal Shem Iser, again, we're going to suspend Malchus because of Einis Chal Iser, that you could debate, but the bottom line is there's definitely Bishul Doraisa, Basar B'Cholov Doraisa here, and even though one of them, the Nevela part, the Basar part, is us, or the Cholov part. So L'chor Rabosai, the only distinction we could come up with to defend the Taz is the Halach in Min. Meaning, if it's a Min Tomei, Then according to the Taz, there's no possibility of creating Basar B'Cholov. The Min itself is Mafkia Basar B'Cholov. But if the Min itself is Tahar, for example, the case of the Nevela, the animal died without Shechita, so the Basar itself could be Mutter. There's nothing Mufka from Basar B'Cholov. The only thing is, it didn't get Shechita. So the Taz is going to say the following, and again, it's like rewriting the whole, we're like starting from scratch again. If you talk about a min that's Tomei, a min that's Asur, it doesn't lend itself to Heter at all, then it cannot become Basar B'Cholov according to Taz. But if you have a min Basar that could become Basar B'Cholov, then even though now technically we have Nevela, because the animal died without Shechita, we could have shechted the animal, the Basar itself would have been Basar Tar, could have been subject to Basar B'Cholov, then when I take this Basar, which in and of itself lends itself to becoming Basar B'Cholov, and I cook it with Cholov, it becomes Basar B'Cholov. Masha'inkin, if I have a min behemoth mea, and the min itself is mufka, it doesn't lend itself to becoming basar b'cholov, then I say, I need zehet to b'fnei atzmo, and zehet to b'fnei atzmo. Again, I'm not Mati, you might be right, you know, we're going to have to study the relationship between Bishul and Achil, that's going to require a lot of research, and that's a sugya later on in Menachos, in Chulin Adaf Kuf Yud Gimel, but you have to admit to me that the Rambam just says ein lokin. And that's the Rambam Shita all over the place. That Einis Achal Iser is only a p'tur of Malchus. You know, the Gemara in Yavama says, Nafkavina Lekovra Ben Rishon Gemur. You remember that Gemara? For Rabosai, I have a fascinating idea to share with you. I'm throwing this out. Nizko Bifnei Achabur.
Maybe Basar yeah. Maybe such a thing.
I don't know. Is there such a thing? I don't know. He said, guys, you tell me if there is such a thing. I don't know of such a thing. Maybe Shari Sur without Chanak, but I don't know about Bas B'Chol without Chanak. There's a very interesting discussion in Simon Tzadi Dal, the Machlokas Achronim, about the following case. I have Bas B'Chol, and I cook Bas B'Chol with Basar Heter. And the question is, what would the Mechaber who accepts Rabbeinu Ephraim say about this Basar Het? Do we apply Chanan or do we not? So according to the first Deah in Tzadi Dalid, he says that since the Bliya here that's going from the Basar B'Cholov into the Basar Het is Bliya's Basar B'Cholov, is Afra Rabbeinu Ephraim Moda D'yesh Din Chanan Bashnir. In other words, the second piece of meat becomes nevela, becomes chaticha nasas nevela. And then yesh cholkim. And then there are others who say, no, the Rabbein Ephraim would be matir in this case. Matir, I mean, as far as chanan. So I thought the following. Let's take the first day. The first day in the Taz, I'm sorry, the first day in the Shulchan Aruch in Tzadi Dalet, says that Rabbeinu Ephraim is Moda in this case. According to the Taz, that the Taz says that what is Basa B'Cholav? It's when I take Heter, and I take Heter, and I mix it together and I create Isur. Then in this case, I already took Isur. I took Basa B'Cholav. It's true that the second piece of meat picks up what? In the Bishul. Tam Basa B'Cholav, correct? Okay, so it's got a Blias Tam of Basa B'Cholav. But that doesn't make it Chaticha Nasis Nevela. For Chaticha Nasis Nevela, you need, according to Taz, Zeheter Mifnei Atzmo, Vezeheter Mifnei Atzmo. The act of Bishul engenders a new Iser. And that Iser is to take a Cheftzadet Terah, transform it into a Cheftzadet Surah. And according to the Taz, I have to do that both with regard to the Basar and with regard to the Cholav. So therefore I submit to you that if according to the Taz, the definition of Basar B'Cholav is that a combination creates a new enterprise, and that new composition is Hetem Ifnei Atzmo and Hetem Ifnei Atzmo, but combined what emerges as an Iser, then in this case, where it was already Asur to begin with, there's no way, no how that we would apply the principle of Chanan. Because there's no real Bissel Basa B'Cholav. Again, you have a Bli of Basa B'Cholav. And you might apply all the Dinim now, the Yisra Achila, the Yisra Adno, whatever you like, but don't apply the principle of Chanan. Because Chanan is limited to a case where you created a new Chefzid Yisra. If you have a Bli of Iser, the Iser was pre-existing, it came before the Bishul, that's Blias Iser, but that's not Chanan. And therefore you would not need Shishim against the full bus. Therefore I would submit to you that the Taz, by virtue of his logic, is boxed in to accept the second opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, namely that there would not be Chaticha Nasis Nevela in the case where you took Basa B'Cholav and cooked it with Basa Het. However, what would the Nekudas HaKesef say about this case? And I was thinking the following. According to Nekudas HaKesef, all you need is one of the two elements to become Asur, right? You don't have to create and engender a new Cheftzad Surah on both the Basar and the Cholav. If you engender a new Cheftzad Surah through this Bishul of Basar B'Cholav, for one of the two objects, one of the two items, that's enough to create Basar B'Cholav. Is Mimela, you have a piece of meat that's Basar B'Cholav, and you cook it with milk of Heter, is according to the Nekudas HaKesef, in such a case it would become Basa B'Cholav. And therefore, the first day of the Shulchan Aruch L'Chumra, that Rabbeinu Ephraim would admit that in this case there would be Chaticha Nasis Nevela, fits very well into the Nekudas HaKesef. But by Medvar Hamur, that's only true according to one of the two explanations that we had. The second explanation in the Nekudas HaKesef, that's enough that the Cholav became Asur, or the Basar became Asur through this Bishul. But if we go back to our first explanation of the Nekudas HaKesef, namely, that vis-a-vis Basar v'Cholav, both, the, in other words, again, the first explanation, let's just review it. The Taz is correct. You've got to create a new Shem Iser for both the Basar and the Cholav. Correct? But that new Shem Isur in the case of Behemoth Meah emerges because Behemoth Meah is not Asur as far as Basa B'Cholav is concerned. But here in this case, I have already Basa B'Cholav. So if the Nekudas HaKesef agrees that I have to create Basa B'Cholav for both the Cholav and the Basar, then in this case I didn't do so. And therefore, even the Nekudas HaKesef would accept the first, the second day in the Shulchan Aruch, namely that we could be Mekil according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. Okay. Ad kana kof aleph. The Shulchan Aruch in the same siman, but here we're going a little bit weiter, Sif Vav, speaks about Chamei Teveria. Hamaushan v'hamavushal b'chavei tveria ein lokin olav. Okay, the source for this is the Rambam, the same Rambam we discussed earlier, but just the ratio of the Rambam. Perek tes halacha vav. Hamaushan v'hamavushal b'chavei tveria ein lokin olav. says the Magid Mishnah, Ein lokin alav, hama'ushan bayadilo ifshita b'yushalmi b'nidarim. V'yadua, shesafek Torah lahachmir, v'ein lokin alav. According to the Magid Mishnah, what we find here in the Rambam and the Mechaber is nothing more than an application of the general rule of safek d'oraisa l'chumrah. We don't know what the status of Chamei Tveria is. Is it a violation of Lo Savashel Gediva Chalevi Mo or not? And therefore, Safek L'chumra. Now, before I read to you the next line in the Magid Mishnah, let's just open up the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. It also happens to be in Perek Tes, but this time it's not Halacha Vav, but it's Halacha Gim. The Rambam writes, Hamavashel b'chamei Tveria potur. Potur. Now, if anybody has any doubts, I mean, this is as old as the hills, but I'm going to talk to you like your first graders. If anyone has any doubts what the word potur means in the Rambam, we open up the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milchah Shabbos, Halacha Gimel, Halacha Dalet. The Rambam tells you exactly what he means by the word potur. Kol makom shenemar she'osa davar zeh patur, says the Rambam, harei zeh patur min hakoris min haskilu min hakorban, aval asur lasos oso davar b'shabbos ve'isuro midivrei sofrim harchoka min hamelacha. Whenever the Rambam says the word patur, you can plug in, says the Rambam, the word asur midrabbanan. Now, getting back to the Magid Mishnah, it's a very short Magid Mishnah. He writes, after he establishes that Me'ushan is an Ibai Delo Ifshita Yerushalmi, and therefore Safek L'chumra, he says, V'amevushal B'chamei Tveria, Gamkei Nirasham Shushove L'Me'ushan. So Me'vashal B'chamei Tveria equals Me'ushan, that's all in the Yerushalmi in the Darim, and therefore Safek d'oraisa l'chumra t'ni baya d'lo ifshit. Good? Everything's good. Then he writes the following. Ulegabi Shabbos kaimalon shamavashal b'chamei tveria potur kin nizkar b'hilcha Shabbos perek tes halacha gimel. So I tip my hat off to the Magid Mishnah because he gave me a very important marum makom. But I'm not sure how to read this Magid Mishnah. If I were writing the Magid Mishnah, I would have added one word for clarity. I would have said, Avo Legabi Shabbos, meaning Shabbos in contrast to Bishol Basa B'Cholov, Kaimalon Shavasha B'Chami Tveria Potur. Potur means it's only Asim Rabbanan. There's no Safek D'oraisa L'Hachmir. But the Magid Mishnah obliquely leaves out the word Avo. And he says, Ulegabi Shabbos. So I don't know how to read this Magid Mishnah. Honestly, I would not give him an A for English Lit at this point, because he could have been a little bit clearer than the Magid Mishnah. I beg him to be a little more clear. In pedagogical terms, Ulegabi Shabbos, Kaimalon, Demavasha B'chami Tveri Potter. So what are you telling me? Are you establishing an analogy and equation, or are you establishing some sort of contrast between the two? So that Magid Mishnah is not clear. The one who takes a stand on this issue is the Pri Chodesh. I want to show you the Pri Chodesh. Yeah, go ahead.
Could we say that what the Magid Mishnah is trying to say, it's not, Aval sounds like it's a steer almost. But what he's trying to say is it's a Safek D'oraisa L'chumra here, because it's a
Yibayi
D'oraisa L'Yushalmi. But Legabi Shabbos is not a Safek, it's a Vadei D'Rabbanan, and therefore, all the halakas of Amir L'Akam and everything else, we should have done it like not like a Safek D'oraisa, but like a...
Correct. No, I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying I would have been a little bit more comfortable going to sleep at night if he would have added the word Aval. Meaning, is he quoting the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos because he wants you to know that the same Yibayi D'Lifshita applies in Hilchos Shabbos? In which case, he's not being sensitive to the Rambam's use of the word potur, or fakeret, he's very sensitive to the Rambam's use of the word potur, and he's creating a contrast between the two, a tzvei dinim, if you will, and he's saying that even though in Hilchas Basa B'Cholov, what we're left with is a suffik d'oraisa lahachmir, but hilcha Shabbos, for some unknown reason, it's not even a suffik d'oraisa. It's mutum in Torah, b'toras vaday, it's an iser d'rabban. I just don't know how to interpret the Magid Mishnah. The reason why I mention this to you at the outset is because I think on this very question, not in terms of how to interpret the Magid Mishnah, but on this very essential issue of whether or not the question and the status of Chamei Tveria is to be equated from Basar B'chov to Shabbos and vice versa, that I believe is a Machlokes HaPoskim. And I'd like to begin with the Pri Chodesh. If you have the Friedman, so you have the Pri Chodesh in the back. I don't know if every single thing has. You don't have. Oh, you have it on the daf. Okay, good. It's a little bit nicer here because the print is better. But he writes the following. He says, this is at the end of Os Beis, which are very, very long Os. And towards the end of Os Beis, which is the first page in this printing of the Pri Chodesh on Hilchos Basar B'chov, he writes that Adain nishalon levarer imuushan umevushal b'chavei Tveria asiri minatora olo ubi Yerushalmi b'perek hanod mevushal garsin, and he quotes the whole Yerushalmi v'lo poshet hasam midi, and Yerushalmi doesn't come to any conclusion about the status of muushal and mevushal b'chavei Tveria as far as Basar B'chov is concerned. Haramam kosav b'perek tes hamuushan b'chavei Tveria chaytzme ein lokin olov. Because of a Magid Mishnah, Mishum Davi Baidlo, if she told me you do the Suffolk Torah, Lahachmir, V'ain Lokin Ol. Good. So, up until this point, the Pri Chodesh is innocuous, and he's just giving us an overview of what we know. But now it gets a little bit more intriguing. He says, V'li Nira, the Afal Gavdilo Ifshita, Hacha, even though here, in Nidarim, which means in Allah is a Basar B'chov, it doesn't come to any definite conclusion. However, if Shita B'Yushalmi Gufe B'Mesechta Shabbos, there's another Yushalmi in addition to Yushalmi in Nidarim, there's a Yushalmi in Shabbos B'Periklal Gadol, and there it comes to a definite conclusion, and he says the following. The Garcin and Hossam at Solov and Vitagin Vasholik Vamashin Kula Mishumavash. So the bottom line is we're not talking about a Suffolk Doraisa Lachumra, the way the Magid Mishnah interpreted the Rambam. But rather we're talking about a final conclusion in the Yushalmi, although not in the Yushalmi in the Darim, but here in the Yushalmi here. Correct? And he says the following. The Kihechi. Oh, this is the punchline that I want to bring to your attention. V'kihechi d'mechayev b'ma'ashen mishum mevashel b'shabbos hu hadin l'inyin bishol basar b'chalav. Meaning, once we have a definite conclusion in Shabbos, which we found in the Yushalmi in Periklal Gadol, is ipso facto the same conclusion should be applied to basar b'chalav. The Pri Chodesh, and I'll show it to you again, he clarifies it again in the next couple of lines, establishes an analogy, an equation between Basar B'chalav and Shabbos as far as the definition of Bishul is concerned. Nafkamina, Legabi Mu'ushan, and Chamei Tveria. He says the following. Avol b'mevushal b'chamei Tveria, even though with regard to Ma'ashen, we come to a very definite conclusion that Ma'ashen does constitute Bishul in Shabbos, and you're chayev for that, and therefore you'd be chayev in Basar B'chalav. But when it comes to Chamei Tveria, the Yushalmi establishes a plugta of Amoroyim. Ubishas dilod meperkira sikna v'ashel b'chamei Tveria b'shabbos lo machayev mishum v'ashel. Which I guess what he's saying is that as far as Shabbos is concerned, according to the Bavli, we don't come to the conclusion in a definite sense that Mevashel B'chamei Tveria constitutes Bishul, and it remains an outstanding suffering. For who adin l'inyan Bishul Basar B'chalav. Also, it's Eino Asa Min HaTorah. So again, either Eino Asa Min HaTorah means the Chamei Tveria is out, or the way the Magid Mishnah understands it, that it's a Safek, and Safek Lahachmir, but there's no Malchus. So it comes out according to Pri Chodesh the following. As far as the Yushalmi is concerned, there's a definite conclusion that Me'ushan is considered Bishal on Shabbos, and therefore, ipso facto, it's considered Mevashel as far as Basa B'chol is concerned. As far as the Bavli is concerned, with regard to Chamei Tveri, we have a definite conclusion that it's not considered Mevushal, and we have to equate the two. In a word, the Pri Chadash establishes the following premise. Whatever conclusion you can draw as far as Shabbos is concerned, you have to draw the same conclusion as far as Basa B'chol. Now I want to show you, now the punchline of my discussion today is going to be the Kiryas Sefer, which is quoted by Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuva Nigvus Moshe. But before we get to the Kiryas Sefer, I want to point out to you up front that this whole concept of the analogy of Bishul in Bas V'chol and in Shabbos is not well accepted. Meaning, although the Pri Chodesh postulates that analogy, the Aruch HaShulchan, for example, goes out of his way to point out that Shabbos and Bas V'chol are two separate dinim. Because he says that in Shabbos, nowhere does the Torah mention Bishul. The concept of Shabbos, he says, is only an Av Malacha. So this is the Aruch HaShulchan Simon Pei Zayin Sif Yud. And he says, V'ein lahavi raya le'isar miyushalmi v'Shabbos. He's talking about Tzli and Tigun. And he wants to know what's the status of Tzli and Tigun as far as Basa B'chol is concerned. He says, don't bring a raya from Shabbos. That just as in Shabbos Tzli and Bishul constitute Tzli and Tigun constitute Bishul, therefore they constitute Bishul in Basa B'chol. He says no. In Basa B'chol the Torah says Lo Savashel, but Atu B'Shabbos Ksiv Bishul B'Torah, and therefore Tzli and Tigun is an Av Malach. And the truth is, when I saw this Aruch HaShulchan, I was very, very excited. Because you may recall that 2 weeks ago, I spoke about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. And I wanted to say that even if in Shabbos with Machmir and Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul, for example, let's say he cooked it Kemaychel Ben Josoi, which is already considered Kimavushal, and then he cooks it a second time, is Yechayev. But that's because of the concept of Meleches Machsheves, that you have been metaken it, and we've discussed this on many occasions. That would not prove a dime as far as Basa B'chol is concerned. As far as Basa B'chol is concerned, it's quite possible, and that's what all the posts give me a quote, that ain't Bishul Achar Bishul, unless the first Bishul was not a Bishul. Like, for example, in Kavush, and then you cooked it after Kavush. But had Kavush been considered Mevushal, is the poskim assume, we saw it at great length last time, that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. I, in Shabbos, maybe we hold Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. The answer is that in Shabbos is a din of Malacha. We're not looking at Bishul as a concept. No, in Shabbos, even though the Heft is Mevushal Alpi, then you could still do another Bishul if it adds something. And therefore you could have Bishul, I don't know, Kaliyah Bishul, maybe in Kli Sheni, which wouldn't apply in the Yisur Bishul Basa B'Cholav. Maybe you could have Bishul Basa B'Cholav, you know, Bishul B'Shabbos might apply to Chamei Tveria, but not in Basa B'Cholav. You never know, right? You could always make those distinctions. So that's number one. Meaning, whenever you see something like this pre-Chadash, who postulates an exact equation between Shabbos and Basa B'Cholav vis-a-vis the definition of Bishul, be very, very suspicious. That should be your knee-jerk response. You know, Yesh Lachshosh. It's not a proof. Okay. That's number one. Number two, I want to point out to you that the pre-Chodesh is not alone. I found in the Placey, right here in Simon Pei Zion, of Rabbi Yonasan Ivashitz, he too writes, HaPri-Chodesh Daito Lomer, the whole Ubi Yusham Yosef to Shabbos, if Shita, that Mu'ushan is Bishul, is Kema Davi Bishul, Gabi Shabbos, Hu Adin, Lebasa B'chol. So the Placey opens up with the words of the Pri-Chodesh, and now I want to read to you the next few words of the Placey, and you decide whether you think he accepted the Pri-Chodesh or he didn't. V'yesh litchos, d'basa v'chol of derech bishol asra Torah, v'ein ze derech bishol l'chamamon b'me'ushan. He doesn't go on and say the next piece, which I think the Aruch HaShulchan would have written a footnote here and say, Masha'en came b'Shabbos, this Me'ushan is enough to establish a Meleches Machshevas because it achieves Bishul and Chefta. So it might not be a Derech Bishul Asur Torah as far as Basar B'Cholov is concerned, but it doesn't mean, therefore, that it wouldn't constitute Bishul as far as Shabbos. So they're all, you know, they're all ganging up here in the Pre-Chadosh. Again, obviously, Yor HaShul doesn't quote the Pre-Chadosh. I'm saying that the logic of it is anti-Pre-Chadosh. The Pre-Chadosh assumes an equation. Where the Magen Mishnah fits into this, I do not know. Oh. And here, Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes a Kiryas Sefer. Kiryas Sefer was written by the Mabit. Came from a very, very illustrious family. And he wrote in Lumdus and Allah, he also wrote in Ashkofa. What's the issue of Rav Moshe Feinstein? And Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva about microwave ovens. Now you and I might laugh at the next comment I'm going to make, but at the time that Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva, microwave ovens were first coming into style. They were not that popular. Today, who doesn't have a microwave? Even we have a microwave here. I don't know if it's kosher, but we have one, right? Okay. So Rav Moshe, this tshuva about a microwave, says a few very fascinating things. He speaks about Bishul Bechama. Rashi and the Ran in the Sugyan Daf Lamites of Bishul Bechama Tveria, they explain that Bishul Bechama is not Osir B'Shabbos. Solar heating is not Osir B'Shabbos. And why is that? And both Rashi and the Ran use the following four-word term, D'ein Derech Bishul Bekach. Rashi and the Ran. So Rav Moshe says the following. Don't misinterpret Rashi and the Ran. Typical Rav Moshe Feinstein. You and I would think, when we read the words Ein Derech Bishul Bekach, that he's talking, he, meaning the Rashi and then the Ran, are talking about Kalachar Yad. There are many cases in which you do something unusual, and in a very unusual fashion. You know, you write with your left hand, you're a righty. And this is another case of that. That Bishul Bechama is unusual. Rav Moshe rejects this outright. And he has a beautiful proof to say that that's not Pshat, not in Rashi, nor in the Ran. What's his proof? From the sugya of Chami Tveria. In that sugya of Chami Tveria, on Daf Mem, the Gemara presents a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi says that Chami Tveria is chayev on Shabbos. And why is that? Because Rabbi Yossi says that Chami Tveria is told us ha'or. R means Eish, that means there's a fire of Gehenna at the core of the earth, and that's what's heating up the Chami Tveria. And if it's Toldos Har, that's a Toldos of Shabbos, of Meleches, Mevashel Yechayim. The Rabbanan hold that you're potter for Chami Tveria. Why? Because Toldos Chamahem. And why is it Toldos Chama? Because the water is heated up by the sun and not by the Eish of the core of the earth. Fekter Moshe, I don't get it. If the issue of Chami Tveria is Kelachar Yad, what difference does it make? Even if I grant the conclusion of Rabbi Yossi that it's told us are because there's a fire that's heating up Chami Tveria, but if it's Ein Derech Bishul Bekach, literally, he's writing with his left hand, then for this he should be potter. Who cares if it's told us are? Elo, says Rabbi Moshe, that's not what Rashi and the Ran have in mind. What do they have in mind? And he says the following, that there's a fundamental difference between Toldos Ha'or and Toldos Ha'chama. Toldos Ha'or means that you're cooking with fire. And let's say, for example, Rav Moshe gives an example, let's say you have a fire here and the pot is a little bit distant from the fire. What difference does it make? The cooking is happening as a result of the fire. So too here, when you have Toldos Ha'or, it's one step removed from the fire. right? The fire heats up a piece of metal, and then you put the food on the piece of metal. It doesn't matter. It's like the case where the fire is a little bit distant from the pot. It still remains Eish. Told us that Eish is Eish. Again, it's not an Av, it's a told, because it's slightly different to Samalach, but essentially, you are cooking with a fire. Masha Enkein, in the case of solar energy, that qualitatively is a different kind of Bishul. Even though, says Rabbi Yosef, in the final product, he says, you can heat up something. In other words, Rabbi Yosef and the Chachamim in Chamei Tveria are not arguing about the heat of Chamei Tveria. Chamei Tveria boiling hot. You know, it's Yad, so lettuce bone, and I wouldn't advise you to put your pinky in there. And the food is going to get just as cooked, whether you hold like Rav Yossi that's told us hard through the Eish of Gehenna, or you hold like the Chachamim that's told us a Chama. In both cases, it is considered a very hot water that could certainly achieve Bishul. But the Machlokas is the following. Says Rav Moshe, if we go back to the Mishkan, in the Mishkan, the cooking was done through Eish. They lit a fire under the Yorah, and they made the dyes. Says Rav Moshe, that becomes a classical definition of Bishul as far as Shabbos is concerned. And even if it's told as Ha'or, but nevertheless, you're cooking through the fire. And that's Dumya de Mishkan. If, on the other hand, you're cooking from a heat source, which is solar, and that's the Chachamim Shita in Chamei Tveria, then qualitatively it's a different Bishul than the Bishul that was done in the Mishkan. So Rav Moshe now has two conditions to be Chayav in Shabbos for Melechus Bishul. The first condition is it has to be an effective Bishul. It's got to be hot enough, and it achieves a very fine Bishul, and the final product is cooked. In every sense. It cannot be kilachar yad, meaning it has to be something that's popular. You know, let's say, anyone would cook in Chamei Tveria. It's not very commonplace, but it's common enough that it's not kilachar yad. And the second condition is, it's got to be dumya de mishkan. Says Rav Moshe, with regard to dumya de mishkan, it doesn't mean it has to be exactly the same kind of Bishul that was done in the Mishkan. But at least it has to have these two conditions. Number one, it has to be as effective as Bishul. And number two, it's got to be as commonplace as Bishul. Says Rav Moshe, listen carefully, that the microwave oven has both conditions. Number one, it's as effective as cooking. Right? Again, you and I might say that, in certain ways, I don't know if you agree with me, microwave is still not it. I don't know. That's only from a funakim like myself, you know, that burned mugmar, you know. But from Rav Moshe's perspective, the bottom end result, the end product is Bishul. Oh, says Rav Moshe, but who uses a microwave? Nobody. Like, you know, it's very rare. Says Rav Moshe, that's only because ein heim mitsuyim biyadeinu, he says. He says it's only because it's very hard, it's inaccessible. But he says, I promise you that as soon as the microwave becomes accessible, everyone's going to own a microwave because it's as effective as cooking as any other cooking, and therefore the microwave comes under Bishul Gavur Doraisa and it fulfills both conditions. Oh, but the case of Bishul Bechama, or Vitolas Achama, there Rav Moshe claims, even if in the end result the heat is great in Chamei Tveria, right? And according to Chachamim, it's Tolvas Achama, excuse me. And the final product is Mevushal, perfect. But who cooks in Chamei Tveria? It's so unusual that therefore, since it's a different type of Bishul than that Bishul that's done in the Mishkan, therefore you put it in Shabbos. And to prove his point, he quotes the Kiryas Sefer, right here in Hilchas Macholos Asuras, the Kiryas Sefer writes that even if the Rambam paskins that as far as Bishul Basar B'Cholov is concerned, you are violating an Isur through Chamei Tveria, he says that has nothing to do with Shabbos. Why? Because as far as Bishul Basar B'Cholov is concerned, all I need is to fulfill one condition, Namely, it's got to be an effective bishul that people do. You don't have to be a crazy nut to do it. It's not like you're standing on your head or writing with your left hand. And therefore, bishul b'chamei tveria, according to the Rambam, is a ribaya delo ifshita, and it's also the oraisa midin sofek isa l'chumra, just that you don't get malchus for it. Because it's very possible that chamei tveria fills the conditions of bishul as far as losavasha. But when it comes to Shabbos, Zot the Kiryas Sefer, there we have another condition. It's not enough that the bishul is effective. It's not enough that the bishul is commonplace. And it's not what you'd call unusual or fluky. You have another condition that Shabbos has to be what? Dumya de Mishkan. Here, Chamei Tveria is different than Me'ushan and Metugan and all the rest. It is a qualitatively different kind of bishul. And it's not Dumya de Mishkan. In Mishkan, says the Kiryas Sefer, the bishul was done through Eish. And Chamei Tveria is not through Eish, it's through solar energy. So the Kiryas Sefer establishes that solar energy, as far as Shabbos is concerned, since it's Eina Dumya de Mishkan, is Potter. What does Potter mean? It's Mutter Midrash and it's Asa Midrabanan. I, the Rambam himself, paskins that Chamei Tveria, in the case of Bishul Basar B'chol of his Doraisa, just so you don't get Malkus, says the Magen Mishnah, because of Safek, Ibai Loifsh is Safek L'chumra. That's because, as far as Basar B'chol is concerned, we don't have the additional condition of Dumya de Mishkan. Is Mimela Rabbo say, just to summarize, we have here two different roads. We have the road of the Pri Chadash, quoted by the Plesi, and the Pri Chadash says that there's an exact equation and analogy between Bishul Basar B'chol and Bishul B'Shabbos, and it goes both ways. So if you come to one conclusion in Hilchos Shabbos, you apply that willy-nilly to the other, to Bishul Basar B'chol. That's the pre Chadash. And the Krasi says you don't have to equate the two. I'm not sure where the Magen Mishnah goes. I would rather say that the Magen Mishnah has the word Aval to it, as if it has the word Aval to it, and he's talking about a contrast. But this contrast is beautifully explained by the Kiryas Sefer, who maintains that in Shabbos there's an additional condition that has to be fulfilled to maintain a malacha of bishul, and that's got to be Dumya de Mishkan. So Rav Osai, when we talk about Shabbos and Basar B'cholov, we really have to keep in mind that it goes both directions. It could be in certain instances Shabbos will be more machmir than Basar B'cholov l'chumra. For example, we spoke about bishul achar bishul, and that's because the new halacha of Meleches Machsheves Asuto, which means tikkun, expands my definition of Meleches Shabbos, but it also can go the other way. It could very well be that in Shabbos will be Mekil, because Shabbos is lacking in the condition of Dumya, the Mishkan, and in Basar B'cholov will be more machmir, because the bishul itself is qualitatively a successful bishul, and what you end up is a Dover HaMavusha. Okay, man? Stop. By the way, on the machlokas between the Taz and the Bach, the Bari HaShulchan quotes, he's got a whole thing here that we go l'chumra. I mean, if it was up to me, I would have gone l'chumra.
By Hanan, if we...
Yeah. And also by Chamei Tveria. Okay, so Chamei Tveria, I could see that we want to be machmir, especially in the light of the Kiryas Sefer and the Magen Mishnah before the Kiryas Sefer, that we're talking about a Sofik Doraisa L'chumra. That I understand that Chamei Tveria has to be. And he wants to equate microwaves with Chamei Tveria, and he wants to say that we have to be very careful about microwaves, both on Shabbos and in Bishul Basar B'chol. But with regard to the other machlokas, between the Taz and the Bach, I don't know. My sense is that we should go l'kula as far as Hanan and Chetichul is coming, because
everybody's
docha the thing, and the Shach himself. This, the oddity is that the Shach in you know, the Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef is aware of what he wrote in the Shach, and he says, even though I agreed with the Taz's conclusions, but for different reasons. I agree with the Taz because what would motivate the Chacham to institute this Isik Zeir if it's also Machil anyway? But on the conceptual level, to say the Chanan is not Shaykh in the case of Behemet Tmei or Chol Tomei, that says the Shach I'm not willing to accept. The question is why the Shach rejects the Taz, and that I think there are two different possibilities. It depends how you read the Nekudas HaKesef.
The question that I had on the Taz Stam, which was too simple, the question was too obvious. It must be that I missed something. But yeah, if we paskin, we being Ashkenazim, we paskin halacha that we hold of Kanan by Shari Surim.
Yeah.
So what's the Chacham meaning to say that you can't say Kanan if both things are not mutter? In other words, there's obviously a shita that holds that we say Kanan by Shari Surim. Is right. That just the chumrah that we extended to Shari Surim?
No. But even the Ashkenazim, based on the Rambam, who extend Chanan to Shari Surim, there still is a unique halacha of Chanan in Basim Cholov. What's the case? The case is we have a chaticha that's half in the rotev and half out of the rotev, and it's a davar sheino davuk. And there, the chumrah of chaticha nasayin even for the Ashkenazim is only limited to Basim Cholov. So this discussion of the Taz and all his logical arguments is relevant not only to the Mechaber who accepts Rabbeinu Ephraim, but even for the Ashkenazim who never really accepted Rabbeinu Ephraim. Yes. Yeah. The language of the Bari Ashulchan, he says, K'moshe gozru al-achilas boser chayev y'ov b'cholov b'drabbonon yizkach gozru gam al-atmeir. I'm skipping around here. And that's what he says here in the name of the Bach. He says, Omnam Shach Cholik ala Bach Bozer, because of the Kavan, Sha'osav Achil Balav Hachim Itam Tumo Ma Inyan Ligzor Bobi Shabosel Kendas Hataz Lahakil. V'chein ha-mechaber daita lahokil bozeh. And he says v'chein nir lahotu. So I stand corrected. You're right that the Bari HaShulchan is mekil, and he quotes the Chochmas Adam to support him on this issue. So again, the Rov Poskim rejected the Bach, and the Halacha it seems that we're mekil.